Welcome to our Granite Bay Church services. I want to welcome those who are watching online or on television. I think there are probably some of our members that are back at the national ASI meeting, and it's about 3 hours later there. They're in their room after lunch and tuning in, I'm hoping. And so I want to welcome each of you. Our message today is dealing with the subject of being ambassadors for Christ. I think most of you saw on the news this week, there was a very interesting prisoner swap that took place, where 24 detainees in various countries, through a lot of intense and lengthy negotiation, they said, we'll give you one of those for one of these. And they exchanged a number of people that were being held as prisoners or being detained, and a number of our prisoners came home, people who we believe were inappropriately being held. That happens as a result of a lot of background work through ambassadors and State Department workers. There's a lot of negotiations and conversation, and of course we're thankful for the people that were released and that were freed. In our scripture reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, you notice Paul says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. You notice he didn't say, I'd like for you to be an ambassador. He said, you are. There are some good ambassadors, and there are some bad ones. I heard a story a few years ago that back in Washington, D.C., in one of the expensive hotels, one of the diplomats called the front desk frantic, and he said, you need to send a doctor to my room. My legs are paralyzed, and I cannot move them. So they called the paramedics, and they went up, and they had to go through security because this was an ambassador's quarters, and they finally managed to get the door open and get into the room, and it turned out that this ambassador was seriously inebriated, and he had put both of his legs into one leg of his pajamas, and he couldn't move them, and he thought he was paralyzed. Heaven forbid these are the people running the country. But if you're going to be an ambassador, you want to be a good ambassador. Not all of them are good. You are an ambassador. If you're a Christian, you are representing another kingdom. Now, the word ambassador is found about 10 times. Actually, more. Sometimes it calls it a delegation or other words. But at least 10 times you'll find the word ambassador or ambassadors in the Bible. Paul mentions it again in Ephesians 6:18. Paul is a great example of this. Praying always, I'll be reading through verse 20. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication of all the saints, and for me. He's saying, praying for me. Why? That utterance may be given to me that I might open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Notice that, not just an ambassador, but an ambassador in chains, that I might speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, technically, ambassadors often have what they call a diplomatic immunity. And even under some very dire circumstances, ambassadors are protected and you're not supposed to bother them. I hear stories about ambassadors in Washington, D.C. that break all these traffic laws and they get pulled over and they say, I've got diplomatic immunity and the highway patrol needs to let them go. Do you know that when Pearl Harbor took place in 1942, December 7, that Japanese ambassadors were in Washington, D.C., and you would think that after they bombed us, we'd arrest them and put them in jail. They put them under house arrest and sent them on a Swedish ship, because Sweden was neutral, to Madagascar, and they found their way back to Japan. We basically evicted them, but we couldn't arrest them because there's an international understanding that ambassadors and embassies are protected, and sometimes that's been violated. What is an ambassador? What's the definition for an ambassador? An ambassador is an authorized diplomatic messenger or official of the highest rank, appointed and accredited as a representative in residence by one government or sovereign to another. Second definition, a diplomatic official heading his or her country's permanent mission, notice the word mission, to a certain international organization such as the United Nations. The word ambassador comes from the medieval word ambarica, sort of a combination of a French and a Latin word, but it basically means a servant with a mission conveying important messages. These early ambassadors might announce the coronation of a king or royal wedding or something. They had very important messages. Now, the fact that Paul was an ambassador in chains is unusual because you're not supposed to arrest ambassadors. But he's not the first one. Every believer of God is representing another kingdom. Keep in mind, what were the first words that John the Baptist spoke when he began preaching? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, he was in the kingdom. He was not only in Israel, it was occupied by the Roman Empire. So what kingdom is he talking about? And then they said, John, who are you? He said, I'm not the one, but I am a voice crying in the wilderness saying, prepare the way for the one that's coming, the king. John was an ambassador who went before. What were the first words that Jesus said when he began preaching after his baptism? Who knows? Same thing John said. Repent, Matthew chapter 4, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, was he talking about a kingdom here? Well, it'll be here someday, but it's not yet. When Jesus was being tried by Pontius Pilate, Pilate asked him point blank, are you a king? Because they said, he's claiming to be the king of the Jews. Pilate said, are you a king? And Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. He didn't deny that he's a king. He said, my kingdom is not of this world now. So yes, he is a king of another kingdom. Now, what kingdom do you belong to? If you're a Christian, well, you know, we sort of seem to have dual citizenship sometimes. But primarily, we are representing another kingdom and another king. And we sometimes forget. What kind of a representative was Joseph? Joseph was an ambassador in chains. He was in Egypt. But while in Egypt, was the first king that Joseph served, was it Potiphar, was it the Pharaoh, or was it the Lord Jehovah? His first dependence, his first responsibility was to the Lord, Jehovah. And he was in chains. And did he rightly represent God? And Joseph knew someday he would be exalted. God showed him that in dreams. And he was representing the God of Israel to a whole nation through his faithfulness. Look at the story of Esther. She was an ambassador in chains, started out as a captive from Israel in Persia, and through her faithfulness, she ends up becoming queen, well, partly through her beauty, which is another way to witness. We want to be beautiful for the Lord, amen? And she had to be an ambassador in a foreign country married to someone from another kingdom. Some of you are in marriages where your spouse does not believe or does not practice. You are an ambassador. The Bible says that the believing wife needs to witness through her holy conduct so that she can win the heart of her unbelieving husband. And of course, that works both ways. But if you're a believer, you are a representative of another kingdom to those around you. You can read about Daniel. Daniel was a captive. He was an ambassador in chains. He went from being a captive to being quite literally a representative of the people of Israel to the kingdom of Babylon. And he interacted. It was Daniel's intercession that freed King Jehoiachin. If you read in the end of 2 Chronicles, it talks about that in the 37th year of the captivity of King Jehoiachin, King Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, released him from prison. Why did that happen? Because Daniel, he went to him. He tried through Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar wouldn't do it. Then he appealed to the son, and he finally let the Israel king out of jail after 37 years. That was through his advocating, is what an ambassador does, for the freedom of your people. You and I are ambassadors. John the Baptist, I mentioned, was an ambassador to prepare the way for the king. You and I have a work to do to prepare the way for our king. We're talking about another kingdom that's coming. So I've got a few points If you're counting, there'll be 14 unless I run out of time. Then there'll still be 14. Of what is an ambassador? First of all, an ambassador is appointed by the king and given authority to speak in their behalf. John 20, verse 21, Jesus said, "As the Father sent me," do you realize Jesus is an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven? And he came to this world to show us what that kingdom's like and what his Father is like. It says, "And my Father, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you." So we have been sent by the king. We are chosen to be ambassadors for the king. Adam Clark, in his commentary, he writes, "An ambassador is a person sent from one sovereign power to another and is supposed to represent the person of the sovereign whom he is deputed. Christ, while on earth, represented the person of the sovereign of the world, the Father. His apostles and their successors, that's you and me, we represent the person of Christ. Are we good ambassadors?" You are an ambassador if you say you're Christian. By the way, there are no secret ambassadors. A secret ambassador is called a spy. It's a different job. Ambassadors are public. They do not hide who they serve and who they represent. And if you go, when I was young, I moved to live with my mother in New York City. Our first house was on 51st Street on the east side, a few blocks away from the United Nations. And it's hard to believe, 7 years old, my mom would send my brother and I out to go play on the streets. And we would walk all the way down to the UN, and I'd see these people walking around in these strange clothing because they'd be having some assembly or some meeting, and the people who were from Africa were wearing African clothes, and the people who were from the South Pacific were wearing South Pacific clothes, and they were wearing the clothes of their country. And they were there, they were not doing anything to hide that we are representatives of from another country, and we are going to advertise that. Do you hide that you are a Christian? Then you're not an ambassador, you're a spy. You want to be announcing it, promoting it. You're celebrating your country. Don't be ashamed. Jesus said, "If you're ashamed of me and my words, my teachings in this evil and adulterous generation, I'll be ashamed of you. But if you confess me, I will confess you before my Father and the angels of heaven." So we are appointed. Now, if you're a king and you're going to pick an ambassador, what would you look for in that person? Well, you want somebody that you think would rightly represent you, that would have good judgment, that would have self-control, and the Lord has chosen us to be his representatives. We want to have those characteristics. Number two, an ambassador is a small embodiment of the nation they represent. If people want to know what your kingdom is like, they should look at you as a citizen of that kingdom and say, "Oh, that's what they're like." So with our behavior, with our words, with our dress, with our smile, the way we spend our time and our means, we are advertising for our kingdom. We're showing people who we are and what we believe. There are times before where I've, you know, gotten bad service at a company or in an airline or something was wrong, and I've thought about grousing and complaining, and I thought, you know, I've already told these folks I'm a Christian. I think I better be quiet because I represent, once they know I'm a Christian, I represent my king. And I want to be kind. I want to be loving. Matthew 5:16, Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your," what kind of works? Good works. You're not saved by works, but you want good works to shine. Why? That they glorify your Father and his kingdom. Amen? In other words, we are living demonstrations of another world as ambassadors. Number three, ambassadors communicate their government's position in an effort to influence the territory for the king and the kingdom. We're always trying to influence our territory in behalf of our king and the citizens. You can look at where Paul was in prison. He was being tried. And this is in Acts chapter 26. I put the points on the screen, but I'm hoping you have Bibles. Acts 26, verse 27, Paul's being tried. He says, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe. And then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. And Paul said, I would God that not only you, but also all who hear me today, he was in an audience with other dignitaries, might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains. Paul was an ambassador in chains. He said, I'm here to influence you for my kingdom and the ways of my kingdom. You know, one of the things that makes America a unique country is with the writing of our Constitution, America was an experiment. You've read the Gettysburg Address. And the world was watching to wonder if a country ruled by the people, how it would succeed. And you look at the prosperity, and most of the countries of the world used to be run by monarchies or dictatorships, and it's shifted through the influence of the American dream of letting the people pick their representatives and having freedom to be governed by self-government. Everyone has a right to happiness, that everybody is equal. And it was a painful development of these principles, but wherever we go, don't we advocate for that? In whatever country I'm in, I tell them the benefits. Jesus said, Matthew 10, verse 18, you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as the testimony to them, into the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given you in that hour what you should speak. If you're a representative of another king and you're a diplomat, you're an ambassador, they will communicate what their position is and what they want you to speak. You know, in the last days, we are going to be brought before kings and rulers of the world to share our faith and to bear witness for what we believe, just like Paul was. It's going to happen again. I can think of at least three times that Karen and I, in our travels, we were brought to meet with presidents or vice presidents four times of countries. And we're entertained by them, and it's just a wonderful privilege to be able to speak a word for Christ in that capacity. So, number four, when talking about ambassadors, their embassies are protected by their government. Now, I should probably say a word about, you know, what's an embassy. An embassy is, if you're an ambassador, the church is like an embassy. It's a place where the staff abide. An embassy is a building containing the offices of an ambassador and their staff. An embassy is virtually a kingdom within a kingdom. Some of you know, not too long ago, Julian Assange, who was the WikiLeaks founder, that he released a bunch of top secret papers, and he was in London, and when he was going to be prosecuted, he knew that was coming. He knew that Ecuador had a kind of an adversarial relationship with the U.S. and England at that time, and they were going to give him asylum. So he went to the Ecuadorian embassy in England, and it was like he had escaped England. He could look out of his window and see London everywhere. But it's like once he went into the embassy of Ecuador, he's in another country, and they could not arrest him. And he lived there for 7 years until finally they got tired of him and they kicked him out because they said he was not taking showers often enough and he was skateboarding up and down the halls and driving them all crazy. And they said, we can't go on like this anymore. At least that's the report that was released. But they said, you're not a very good representative of your country. Finally, you know the story, he finally went through some deep plea deals, spent some time in jail, and he's a free man now. But he lived in an embassy, and they could not touch him because he had the protection of that country around him. Acts chapter 18, verse 9 and 10. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you. No one will attack you or hurt you. I have many people in this city. So he's basically telling us, he says, look, we're in a church, we're in an embassy, but we shouldn't be afraid to speak. He's got words for us to say. He says, I will be with you. What is the last thing Jesus said before he ascends to heaven? All authority in heaven is given to me. Go ye therefore. What's implied by that? He says, I've got all authority. I want you to go. It means he is giving us authority to go. This world is not God's kingdom yet. The literal kingdom will be here later. The spiritual kingdom's here now. I hope he reigns in your heart as your king. But right now, Jesus says the devil is the prince of this world. Revelation says he's come down with great wrath because he knows his time is short. And so there's a battle going on. Jesus wants us to go and share the principles of his kingdom and to recruit people. You know, sometimes, not so bad now, but back when communist Russia was, the USSR was in existence, there would be an Olympic meet in a free country. Russia would send their athletes. They had to guard their athletes because their athletes would escape from the athletic grounds and go to an embassy and claim asylum. They wanted to escape and become part of a better country. You know, there's a lot of people out there that would like to escape the devil's domain and be part of a better country. And you and I need to tell them how they can get out to help them find asylum in Christ. Amen? So they're being defended. Point number five, they are to protect and defend the interests of the citizens of their native country in a foreign land. You know, I mentioned Esther, but after Esther revealed her people, Mordecai was promoted to take the place of Haman, just underneath the king of Persia. And what did Mordecai the Jew do in Persia? They're in a foreign land. They were prisoners or ambassadors in chains. Now, this is the last, the very short chapter 10, only three verses in chapter 10 of Esther. Last words in the book say, for Mordecai the Jew was sent to King Ahasuerus. He was second, to King Ahasuerus, just like Jesus, just under the king, and was great among the Jews, well received by the multitude of his brethren, listen, seeking the good of his people. So he's in Persia. There are a lot of Jews in Persia, and he's seeking the good of the Jews in Persia. He's a representative. He's an ambassador for them. Seeking the good of his people, speaking peace to all of his countrymen. So we want to be encouraging our people as we are in a foreign land. That's why we come together in church. We say, cheer up. Courage. Jesus is coming. Amen? You can make it. Number six, ambassadors are diplomats and they have special protections and diplomatic immunity. We touched on this a little bit, but you look in John chapter 10, verse 28 and 29. Jesus said, and I give unto them eternal life, and they'll never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Are we being protected by the Lord? My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. The devil might attack us, we might be tempted, but as long as we remain faithful to our King, we've got diplomatic immunity. He protects us from the evils of the devil. The Bible says the devil is the accuser of the brethren. He will stand and he will point and he will accuse. And Jesus said, as he did there in Zechariah chapter 3, he rebukes the devil and says, this is a brand plucked from the burning. He protects his people. You know, there's an interesting story about some ambassadors in the book of Joshua, chapter 9. And it says, they worked craftily, and they went and pretended to be ambassadors. There are some pretended ambassadors, the Bible says. So Jesus had a Judas that was a pretended ambassador. We want to be true ambassadors and be loyal to our kingdom. Amen? Number seven, they are sacrificial and they exalt their king and not themselves. Now, when people come as ambassadors, they're not to try to make a name for themselves. They're supposed to be exalting the name of the king and the kingdom that they represent. John the Baptist said concerning Jesus, he must increase, I must decrease. I am here to point the way to him and to his kingdom. Point number eight, an ambassador, and this is good news, has access to the riches of his kingdom, and their needs are being met by the native government. Does any nation send an ambassador to another country and say, you're on your own? Or do they give them an expense account? And they give them transportation, and they usually give them a staff. And does God supply our needs to do the work of ambassadors? Doesn't he promise that? Yeah, I was thinking about this as I was working on the message, and I just looked around and thought, wow. I just came back, as I mentioned yesterday, I was in Florida. We had our Amazing Facts board meeting and met with the board, and the way that God is blessing almost 60 years now of living by faith, not knowing what was going to come in. We said, Lord, you said go into all the world. We're going to go into all the world. And he has supplied above and beyond what we expected. Every big dream he puts on our hearts. We've had some hallucinations that didn't work out, but they're good dreams from God that he puts on our hearts. He has supplied the money for everything. The church here, did God supply our needs? You know, as I talked to different ministry leaders, someone told me, and I've learned it's true, the Lord owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and the money will follow the vision. If you have a vision from God, the funds will come. If you are an ambassador for God, he will supply all of your needs. Even Paul, who was an ambassador in chains, is the one who wrote that. He said, I've learned that whatever state I'm in, to be content. Even in the state of California, you can be content. If you are working for the Lord. He takes care of his people. I was going to read you some verses here, and my notes got blown away. Philippians 4:19, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And he has the cattle on 1,000 hills. Number 9, their job is to explain their kingdom's policy to others. If there's any doubts, they are there and say, look, we know chapter and verse. We can tell you what our government is all about and what the kingdom is all about. And the Bible tells us that's what we're to do. 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others. We teach people so they can teach others. Christ gives us that message. Jesus says in the Great Commission, you're my ambassadors. I've given you authority. I'll supply your needs. Go and what? Teach. Teach all nations. We're to communicate the teachings of the kingdom. Proverbs 13:17. A wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a faithful ambassador brings health. We are to be, all right, there's a health message right there. That's part of being an ambassador, right? Number 10, ambassadors live in one kingdom while representing the interests of another. John 17, verse 14, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So here it sounds a little bit like a paradox. Christians and an ambassador and an embassy, we are supposed to be in one kingdom without the kingdom being in us. Do you see what I'm saying? It's like I heard a pastor say one time, a boat is made to be in the water. In fact, if you see a boat on dry land, it looks peculiar. Every now and then, I'm like driving through Nevada, and I see somebody's got a boat in their yard, and I'm thinking, where are you going to use that? There's no lake anywhere nearby. And they got this boat on a trailer, but they got a deal on it, I guess. I don't know. So a boat on dry land doesn't look right. It kind of belongs in the water. But if the water gets in the boat, then you have a problem. So the church, Jesus, I'm putting you in the world, and I want you to be in the world to influence the world. I want you to catch men, but I don't want you to be Jonah and get caught by the fish. I don't want the water in the boat. Now let me tell you a story, it's in the Bible, that helps us understand this principle. So God wanted the nation of Israel to be a kingdom of priests, to proclaim his praises, to be an ambassador in this lost world. He wanted the nation, the whole nation, to be his witnesses. The closest you come to what God's ideal was during the time of Solomon, when Solomon was close to God, they built the temple, nations were flowing to Israel to learn about the God Wealth was flowing to Israel. Light and truth were going out of the kingdom because of Solomon's wisdom. The Queen of Sheba is coming to learn about the wisdom. All nations heard about the truth in this kingdom. They were an ambassador kingdom. But that only happened for a little while. And then what ended up happening is they got conquered again and again and again. You find out that they end up being ambassadors in chains. He says, look, if you don't want to have me be your king, I'll let you be ruled by another power, and you can try and be a witness in a foreign land. And most of the time, Israel was, they were in Egypt, or they were occupied by the Philistines and the Moabites or the Ammonites or the Edomites or the Romans or the Persians or the Assyrians, Babylonians, Greeks, and they ended up having to witness as ambassadors in chains. You know, one of the stories in the Bible where you see the most powerful example of God's people being ambassadors while they're in a foreign country is when the king of Babylon told everybody to bow down to his statue on the plain of Dura when the signal was given. And he had all the dignitaries and all the ambassadors from the kingdom all gathered there. And Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego were there as well. And they gave the signal and everybody bowed down. But what did they do? They stood up for God's commandments. And the king, of course, he gave them a second chance. They said, we don't need a second chance. We're not bowing down. Our God who we serve, we belong to another king. We have another king, and we follow him. If there's a conflict between you and him, we follow him. And they would not bow down. And in a rage, of course, he threw them in the furnace. The soldiers that threw them in died. But the furnace did not hurt them. Christ said, when you go through the fire, I will be with you, in Isaiah. And the king calls them out. And then he makes a decree to his whole empire that nobody speaks against the God of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, better known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were being ambassadors in a foreign land, and they stood up. We're going to have a chance to do the same thing in the last days. There'll be another power that's going to tell us to worship the image of the beast. And we'll have to decide, do we obey the commandments of God or the world? Now, the problem with God's people, when they were in Babylon, even after Babylon was conquered by the Persians, if you've been in a country 70 years, you kind of get assimilated, right? You learn the language, you learn the customs, and pretty soon you start getting used to it, you start adopting the customs, and you lose your distinct identity. After 70 years of being in Babylon, when finally Cyrus said, you can go home, and Ezra and Nehemiah and some of the Zerubbabel and Joshua the priest, they said, let's go back. Let's come out. God's people said, you know, we've gotten comfortable here. We like our neighbors. We've adopted the customs. We've adopted the dress. They had become Babylonian. And sometimes we're so much in the world that we forget we're really supposed to be representatives of another kingdom. And Babylon gets in us. God is calling us out of Babylon. When Babylon gets in us, we stop being very good representatives of a different kingdom. So we're to maintain a positive relationship with our host countries, but don't adopt their customs. Well, and if the customs don't conflict with your customs, that's not so bad. Karen and I just came back this year from some very interesting trip. We were in Indonesia, unique customs, Dubai, Arab customs, Pakistan, India, Hindu customs, and a lot of beautiful things different countries have, but we never gave up our faith. And we always represented that, you know, we are citizens of another country. And I'm not just talking about the U.S., talking about God's country. Paul says in Romans 12:18, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceable with all men. Just because you're an ambassador of another country, don't be arguing with everybody. You're supposed to be a good witness, a peaceful witness. Acts 25, verse 8, Paul argued in his defense, neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar have I committed any offense. We're to obey the laws of the land, unless the laws of the land conflict with, if they tell you to worship a graven image, that doesn't work, right? Ambassadors, number 12, I'm almost done. They are to maintain regular communication with their representative government. I mentioned Pearl Harbor. Did you know that the Japanese ambassadors did not know that their country was going to bomb Pearl Harbor? Can you imagine their chagrin when they found out that the U.S. found out before they did? Their code machine had broken. At least that's the story. And they did not know. We are to be in regular communication. Paul says, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Daniel was an ambassador in chains in a foreign land. Chapter 6, verse 10, now when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room with his window open, he got his Enigma machine, and he began to send coded messages to the King of Kings. That's my translation. Right away, he went up to his upper room, and he began to talk to his king about what was happening in this foreign kingdom. Did God take care of his ambassador? Says he knelt upon his knees three times that day, and he prayed and gave thanks before his God as his custom was. Morning, evening, and at noon will I pray. Psalm 55:17. We're to be in regular communication with home base, right? As ambassadors. Number 13, ambassadors are to be peacemakers. We're not to try to start wars. We're to try to negotiate for peace. Not that we want peace with the devil, but we want the people of this world to find peace with Christ, that they might find peace with God. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. They are the sons of God. Luke 14, verse 31, Jesus shares a parable. Or what king who's going to make war against another king, he doesn't sit down first and consult with his advisors whether he's able with 10,000 to meet him that comes against him with 20,000. Or else he thinks, you know, this may not go well. While the other king is a great way off, he sends an ambassage. That means he sends a delegation of ambassadors who desire conditions of peace. Say, look, 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 we don't need war. What will it take to make peace? God's called us as ambassadors, not to compromise, don't misunderstand, but to try to get people to make peace with Jesus, because you know what? Jesus is the king who's coming with the bigger army. And these people are doomed if they don't make peace. Number 14, be prepared to evacuate the citizens from the host country. Have you ever heard where their tensions got so bad, the State Department sends out notice, we are evacuating everybody from our embassy in Iran. We are evacuating all staff from our embassy in Iraq or whatever the country might be. They need to help organize and prepare their people to get them out safely in case a war is about to break out. Friends, do you know there's going to be a war? Are you aware of that? What was Moses' job? Let my people go. His job was to get them out while there was time. Do we know that there's going to be war, friends? The Battle of Armageddon? And we're to let people know and get them out. In 2 Chronicles 36, verse 20, and those who escaped from the sword he carried away to Babylon, where they became servants to him and his sons until the rule of the king of Persia. And when Cyrus became king, he had proclaimed that the people of God could go home and go free. I don't know if you ever heard about Operation Entebbe. In 1976, some Palestinian terrorists with some European zealots, they hijacked a plane filled with largely Jews, and they flew it to Uganda and landed at the Entebbe airport. And they were holding them hostage there, and they were making these demands of Israel, and they had all their citizens in a foreign country. And it was one of the most creative rescues in history. They actually flew a Rolls Royce that looked like the Mercedes-Benz of Idi Amin. They landed it, they drove it out, they acted like the president was coming to the airport. All of Amin's soldiers thought, oh, it's the president, and they didn't realize that they had sent 100 Israeli soldiers to rescue those 106 captives in a foreign land and to evacuate them. And they flew right into the airport in this foreign country. They shot the terrorists. They rescued out of 106, I think they rescued 102 of the hostages. Some were killed in the crossfire. And one of the soldiers was killed. He was their commander. And his name was Jonathan Netanyahu. That sound familiar? It was the brother, the older brother of Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister. He was shot through the heart in the process, and they brought his body home. They rescued everybody in a great big C-111. It's the biggest airplane there is. And because it flies so slowly, news reached Israel before they arrived that they had rescued all the hostages. Well, 90% of the hostages. And there was great rejoicing because they thought they were all going to be executed. And the plane, when they discovered on the radio that everybody heard they're coming, they heard about the rescue, they deliberately changed their route and they flew over all the cities of Israel slowly so everybody could celebrate before they finally landed that they had been rescued from this foreign land. You know, we have a rescue that's going to take place soon. There's going to be an evacuation, and our king died, our commander died, that we might be delivered from this enemy territory. The good news is that it's not a C-111, but there's plenty of room in the second coming. And Jesus says, the harvest is great, the laborers are few. We want to be his representatives in this foreign land. Amen? Time's running out, friends. God's called us to be his ambassadors, and even if we're ambassadors in chains, we are always witnesses. Paul said, you are ambassadors. What kind of ambassador do you want to be? Don't you want to rightly represent your king and tell the good news of Jesus coming? Amen? Father in heaven, thank you so much for the message that reminds us that we are citizens of another kingdom, that you reign now in our hearts in that spiritual kingdom. But someday the meek will inherit the earth, and your kingdom will come down as a bride adorned for her husband and settle in this world. We will see you face to face. Lord, there's a lot of people in the world out there that don't know you. They don't know that you're coming, and the tribes of the earth will mourn when they see you come because they've not made peace with you. Help us as ambassadors to be peacemakers, Lord, to help people know you, to know the rules of your better kingdom. Forgive us for the times when we have not been good ambassadors, Lord, and help us be better. And I just pray that you'll bless us, remembering as we go from this place, we will enter the mission field. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord. Be with us through this week. We thank you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.